Where you wanna be,
what your life is,
what us with your light. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done because of your tenacity, your commitment, your stick-to-itiveness. It will get done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Thursdays, from 8 to 10, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement, Brother Patrick Lumumba, and the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. If it's 8 p.m. Friday, that's right, family, it's time for an awakening. 8 p.m. on Friday with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday at 5 p.m., from 5 to 6 p.m., Reverend Dr. Edward Pinckney, Pinckney to Pinckney, with activists, Reverend Dr. Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And then on Sunday evening, after that program, Sunday at 7, once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Folks, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Yep, We Buy Black. You know what I forgot to do? Put these things up on the screen. I tell you, I don't know sometime, you know. I'll be somewhere. I had all the time in the world to do it. That's okay. Next time. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tahimba. I need to put that up, though, because he just came back. That's right, he just came back from. I want to be sure. When I give you this information, I want to be sure. He just came back from. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. He
just came back from. Ghana, May 24th to June 5th. Last week he came back. He was in Ghana. His next trip is November 20th to December 1st in Tanzania. Then February 12th to February 23rd, 2026 in Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026 in Kemet. May 24th to May 5th, once again, in Ghana. Pretty much the same. It's the same schedule, but a different year. Next year, May 24th to June 5th in Ghana. October 1st to October 12th, 2026 in Kenya. And then November 19th to November 30th, 2026, Azania. And there are future tours upcoming. The April 1st to April 12th in Tanzania, 2027. June 10th to June 22nd, 2027 in Ghana. September 30th to October 11th, 2027 in Kenya. And a dynamite trip. November 18th to November 29th. 2027, going to Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. Wow. Outstanding. So that's Brother Bomani Tayemba. Go to his website, africa40africans.org. Give the brother a call at 404-931. Oh, he's got his music playing. Yeah. Rastafari, yes, man. Yes, man. Rastafari. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, and they're updated, believe me, go to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos? Go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. .org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And the work they do abroad and what they do home is outstanding of educating young people and building. The Kashi Project been completed in Ghana. And of course, the work that they do agriculturally here, sustainable agriculture and all kind of good stuff. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Open Tuesdays through Sunday. Not open on Mondays. Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. If you're traveling that way, going down, maybe traveling through to Savannah, well, stop in at the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Pick something up there. He also has vegan dishes. That's right. Man, he's got it all. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End on Ralph Dibbert Abernathy. He has all kinds of things at Wadada. Healthy drinks and dry goods and yeah. On Saturday and Sunday, he has vegan dishes that you can, partake of. So, Brother us to go to Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, and figurines, and so much more. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we also promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta, on off of I-20. You take I-20 east, take exit 74, make a left. Now you're going right. Make a left, going right. Make a left, now you're going north. Now you're going north, and about a mile and a half on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Check out my good brother, Brother Gazunde Ajamu, and all he has to offer. Give him a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the opposite direction. Now you're going south. Make a left again, and now you're still going east. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take the exit. Make a right. Three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. Check it out, family. All right. Yep. Hope to have Baba Baruti on the program soon, hopefully. At this time, they do have a summer program. I can announce that. But Baba Walimu Baruti and Mama Yah are just doing an outstanding job of educating our children. The Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. June 10th. Our objective is the destruction of the evil system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as the system of global white supremacy, and the reassurance of our right to self-determination and the resurrection of divine humanity that we brought to the world in the beginning. That's what we did, family. We were the model. Heru Sebek. Victory is in the hands guided by the minds of those warriors who have already won. If you come to the court, the field, or the board full of apprehension and doubt because your opponent's record or fabricated reputation, then you have already lost. You have already lost. If you're weary of battle, even though the war has yet to be won, and allow the enemy's propaganda of their progress and their righteousness to steep in and infect your morale, you have already begun the process of self-defeat. Warriors must be ever vigilant of every thought entering their conscious and subconscious mind. For weak indulgence, indecisiveness, defeatist thinking leads to easy defeat. No matter the odds, no matter the duration in battle, no matter the difficulty, only the strength given through heartfelt courage brings victory. Stand strong. My brothers and sisters, stand strong. Affirm, I am ever vigilant of every thought entering my mind. Affirm, I am ever vigilant of every thought entering my mind. June 11th. Ancestral wisdom unraveled, retracted, revered, and resurrected will promote the reacclimation and the reascension of our people. Let me repeat that. Ancestral wisdom unrivaled, retracted, revered, and resurrected will promote the reacclimation and the reascension of our people. Brother Warfield, we must remember that music has always served a positive cultural enhancing function for Africans. Throughout our story, it calls us to perform ritual, festivals, and ceremony, to celebrate our rites and to gather at our holy places, to confirm and rejuvenate any neglected connection with our ancestors, the guardian deities, and the creator. It summons us to village meetings to decide communal issues and to the courts to decide disagreements between individuals. When necessary, it even calls us as a community into war with others. We must remember that drums have always been at the center of our music. As the heart, they beat out the time and regulate the pulse of our constant movement toward equilibrium and perfection in spirit of the disorder, in spite of the disorder created around us by incomplete beings, Urugu. As timeless, the drums told of our births, our lives, our deaths, our cycles, our victories, our defeats, and lessons learned. The vibrations that their music gives off nurtures the communion of our community. They make cadence during the marches. Those who broke from their enslavement made from town to town after victorious revolts. They roll down from our maroon, Puilombo, and outlier strongholds, announcing coming war and retaliation. They speak of universal rhythm of balance and justice of order. They have never given them up because we know their power. We have never given them up because we know their power. Affirm. I listen to the words of the drum. Ashe. I listen to the words of the drum. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ashe. Oh, yeah. They're going to have this big parade, man. They're going to have this big parade. What is it? This weekend, I believe it is, in D.C. You know, cause Trump was just, he's such a, you know, he's seen what Putin did and what they do in Russia and a few other places where they have military parades. You know, when you have the troops in lockstep and saluting, Trump has everything goes in front of the parade stand. Man, jeez, it's ridiculous. All this money for this bull. Yeah. And so he says, if anybody protests, they're going to be hit real hard for protesting. You can't tell us we can't protest any damn thing. This is a dictatorship. And the people from 2025 are trying to make that happen. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to make that happen. This is a dictatorship. In fact, let me play something here. I'm going to be doing a number of things today. But let me play this. I always want to thank my lady. She is ever present into presenting me all kinds of good stuff. In fact, a few things that I'm going to play today, I got from her. Yeah. Yep. Here you go.
The most dangerous mega diehard you've never heard of. And he's about to take over the agenda of Elon Musk's old department. Enter Russell Vogt.
Thanks for having me.
He's the co-author of Project 2025 and a powerful Trump cabinet member who's had a quiet alliance with Musk when it comes to all the major cuts that have been going on. Sure, he's called himself a boring budget guy, but he's had a whole lot else said about it.
The godfather of the ultra-right.
Incredibly dangerous. He believes in an imperial presidency.
One of the great patriots of our age.
So I've gone through his own words, including undercover footage filmed in 2024 by the Center for Climate Reporting, to find out why we should be paying more attention to his agenda. One thing that we can see is that Vogt has bought much further into MAGA than Musk has.
I am opposed to the Department of Education because I think it's the Department of Critical Race Theory.
We could save the country in a sense of the largest deportation in history. George Floyd obviously was not about race. It was about destabilizing the Trump administration.
Right. Vote founded a think tank called the Center for Renewing America.
An organization that I helped turn into the Death Star.
It's one of the key groups behind Project 2025. And it also recommended that Trump use the military against protesters and people immigrating at the southern border.
We put out, for instance, a 50-page paper that the president has, you know, the ability both along the border and elsewhere to maintain law and order with the military. The
think tank also reflects Vogt's own Christian nationalist beliefs.
I think you have to rehabilitate Christian nationalism. If we're going to have legal immigration, can we get people that actually believe in Christianity?
That Christianity should be infused into public life and government. And he said this about abortion.
I want to get to abolition, but I also, we got to win elections. So long as you are giving people like me in the government the ability to block funding for Planned Parenthood.
He's also shown himself to be a Trump loyalist.
If a battle plan is out there that will do what he wants, there are the people like me that have his trust.
Maybe the most important thing to know about Vogt, especially when it comes to his plans for government, is that he wants to expand presidential authority, which would mean gutting the civil service, replacing them with political appointees loyal to Trump, and ending the independence of agencies like the Department of Justice.
80% of my time is working on the plans of what's necessary to take control of these bureaucracies.
He's been pretty clear for a while that he dislikes civil servants, or as he calls them,
I want to be the person that crushes the deep state.
I want the bureaucrats to be traumatically affected because they are increasingly viewed as the villains.
You only need to look at the chapter he wrote in Project 2025, where he says the president will need to bend or break the bureaucracy to the president's will. For example, his think tank has recommended doing away with the Impoundment Control Act, which would basically allow the president to block funds Congress has already approved.
The Impoundment Control Act, which was really the Impoundment Elimination Act.
And that's a pretty big deal. If this were to happen, it would mean the president getting more power at the expense of elected officials. Radical plans for ruling are something he tried to do last time, but he was thwarted by the courts.
And it's very rare that you have a chance to do a job better after thinking about it for 4 years.
And he's ready for a fight this time. As he said to Hard Right, ex-Trump aide Steve Bannon's War Room podcast, where he's a regular guest.
We're not going to save our country without a little confrontation.
I think the quote that I read from author Catherine Stewart, who's been following Vogt for years, sums it up best. What makes Vogt especially dangerous is that he combines ideological extremism with familiarity and comfort with Washington's political processes. This guy has been called the most...
Yeah. So, vote. There's a number of individuals, and obviously, even though Elon Musk helped put Trump into office, literally, by changing votes and doing whatever was possible, because there's no way in hell, in reality, yes, Trump had a lot of votes. There's no doubt about it. I'm not arguing that. I'm not. But no way in hell that he wins the way he did. No way in hell that he can say 5 days before the actual election back in November and say to over Fox and a few other outlets, "You know, I don't need your votes. I don't need your votes. It's a done deal. We already won. I don't need your votes." And he's boldly saying this. And nobody's not doing anything about it. And then when he wins, he says it repeatedly while in office. And nobody does a damn thing about it. Nobody, no independent investigation. And then bringing it to light, the Justice Department to investigate how this was done, that the fact that they cheated and he should not have been elected. In fact, he should be imprisoned. Man, I tell you, do away with. This is good. I like this one. This is a sister. I don't know the sister's name, although there's a nameplate in front. It's not really in front of her. It's the camera angle because she's not a mister. She's truly a tough sister. So, but she's speaking to McMahon, Vince McMahon's wife. That's right, the wrestler. She comes out of that. And Trump made her education secretary with the whole purpose of dismantling, the whole idea, not to improve, not to get better outcomes, not to make sure that students across this country, and that also too that it is funded as it should be. No, it's to eliminate. And so this sister is saying to, in this hearing with McMahon, check it out.
The important reasons that the federal government got into public education was to establish that there would be standards so that children would be treated equally in pursuing education that states had been found to discriminate against black students in particular in many of the states, and that to send that responsibility and authority back to the states would just enhance those disparities again, considering the environment in which this president continues to foster about who's important and who's not. Yes or no?
Congresswoman, there are laws on the books in Title VI that totally...
Laws don't mean anything to this administration. I'm asking you how you... Do you realize that to send authority back to the states, to eliminate your oversight, to eliminate your accountability, to eliminate your determination as to resources going to public schools that are teaching underserved communities. Will result in the very reason that we had to get the involvement of the federal government in this issue. And that's a yes or a no.
I will not respond to any question based on the theory that this administration doesn't care anything about the law and operates outside it. So that is a mischaracterization.
Your rhetoric means nothing to me. What means something to me is the actions of this administration, from the President of the United States conducting himself in a corrupt manner to determine that this administration can tell you what's right, what's wrong, what's lawful, what's not. That it can arrest judges, it can arrest lawyers, it can use its power to bully people. And I'm telling you, the Department of Education is one of the most important departments in this country. And you should feel shameful to be engaged with an administration that doesn't give a damn.
I say, it sure in the hell doesn't. You could give less than a rat's ass. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this administration, the second time around, some could argue in his first administration, the 2016 to 2020, that he was trying to do some things that were even-handed, if I want to use that word. Or just, or inclusive, up until the time that the plandemic happened. And then when that happened, all the rest of his time, you know, and believe me, he said and did some things during that time that was ridiculous. You know, and he is an idiot. This man, sometimes this is so ridiculous that you're dumbfounded, that you can't come up with words because it's so ludicrous that this man is in the position that he's in. And that so many millions of people have voted for him. So many people who are just spellbound. So many people. Now, I just read a piece there. Not a lot of people supposedly coming to this parade. There's not a lot. But, of course, there'll be, you know, be some. And there's some loyalists of his. Because all the while after he lost 2020 and the year or two after he started holding, when he realized he's not going to be indicted. You know, he's going to go through this. He's going to have an opportunity to run again, which he's shown hell shouldn't. He should not have been allowed to run. But that's how weak this damn country is. That's why, to me, everything that they say I could give less than a rat's ass about. Now, here this man is giving the L.A. community, which the protesters are small, but yet he's calling out the military. First the National Guard, and they can handle it. But yet he allowed the Capitol to be attacked. There should be no way in hell that this man should be able to run again, because that's what he did. Excuse me. Everybody knows had that, well, you know, they're always talking about if that was Barack. It couldn't even possibly happened to Barack Obama, because that anything foolish like that in an instant would have got his ass out of office and probably imprisoned. But yet, Donald Trump, who has been a proven liar, this is a sick society. It really is. And everything that I would like the society to do will never happen. And I know that. Number one, I give less than a rat's ass about it, because it's not going to happen for us. It didn't happen for us. It never has happened for us. And it will not happen for us. You know? Yeah. You know, we just had Easter. What was that, back in April? You know, in the Exodus, right? Yeah. The Exodus. The Jews. The Hebrews. Not these European Jews who aren't Jews. They're not the people of the book. They have no legitimate claim to the land that they have stolen. And are in the process that, as you watch, as you witness genocide in real time before your eyes, that they're enacting upon the Palestinian people. They are not Semitic. So for them to be anti-Semitic is ridiculous. The real Semitic people are the Palestinians. And the people who are doing this, they're anti-Semitic. What a world. So that's why Exodus must happen, family. African people who are serious, wherever we are in the diaspora, we need to go home and work with African people on the continent. African people on the continent must embrace African people around the world to work with one another to help build and plan, to help with the agenda that the Sahel and other African countries who are very positive, are bringing forth. That's what's supposed to happen. That's what needs to happen. You can never be who you truly need to be and must be and should be. And you're in a place where Caucasians, Europeans, are dominant. It'll never happen. If you want to kiss their ass, go ahead. It'll never happen. Exodus, family. That's what needs to happen. Man, this is crazy. It is really crazy. So what else did I have for us? We're going to You know how much I love Ibrahim Traore? Yeah, I'm going to save him for another day. Yeah. Yeah, I saw a nice piece about from Brother Kilimanjaro, Papa Kilimanjaro, on Dr. Shigantu Jop and Dr. Thelophilia Obenga, who kicked ass in 74 at that symposium in 74. And of course, that should have been the deal. But Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. They believe they have the right to do what they're doing. The only way that that can be stopped is that we stop it by coming together, by unifying and doing what we need to do. Now, I don't know about you, but if you do listen to this program, hopefully, too, that you also listen to other programs when they talk about things that should happen in the future. Like, you know, I'm not saying for you to believe everything you see, because believe me, I don't, because some of the stuff that I have seen on some of these platforms is real bogus. You know, yeah, I ain't going for that. And even some of the pieces that they show with Ibrahim Traore and so forth, some of that may not be true. A lot of the things that you see, brothers and sisters, you got to look at with a discerning eye. And you got to look for more information to substantiate what the one you saw in the day. I don't know about that. Because believe me. Yeah. Well, it's coming up on the top of the hour. We'll wait on that. Yeah. We're going to play some Sly Stone. Made his transition. 83 years old. I bet you any money about in the 70s even. And you ask, would Sly Stone make it to 80? Hell no. Because he was doing drugs seriously. Would he make it to 80? You know? He was born March 15th, 1943. And he passed a couple of days ago in June 9th. Yeah. He was born in Denton, Texas, but he was raised in the Bay Area in Vallejo, Northern California. Yeah, he had mastered a number of instruments. He was multi-talented, very serious. Well, his family was. They came from Denton, Texas to move to California. And Church of God in Christ. They were members of the Church of God in Christ. And you know, that's sanctified. They ain't playing. You know, they've been steeped in that dictatorial thing. And he was in playing music along with his brother and his sister, Sister Rose, you know. Yeah. But then, of course, as the middle of the 60s and the latter part of the 60s approach, man, it was Sly Stone. In fact, 69, he played Woodstock out there in New York in 69. Played Milwaukee Summerfest, man. Waited out there, man, for hours. You know, and all you had was a field at that time, of course. You go to Summerfest, and believe me, I tell you, it's a serious music festival. The venue is outstanding. It's really a great venue. And they have multiple stages, multiple genres of music. But the last number of years is weak when it comes to presenting our music. Because I'm going to tell you, it's Milwaukee. It's still, Milwaukee is still a very racist, segregated place because Milwaukee was settled by Germans and Poles. And, of course, Germans are more adamant in their racism. That's historic. So, yeah. So there always was a day or two they, you know, we have more black acts that day. So that day they give to us, so to speak. But other than that. But, yes. Sly came out late like he always did, you know. I hate to say it like that, but he had issues. And when he got into the 70s, he really had issues. But he had great songs, you know. Yeah. Yep. He had some great songs. He had some good music. So we're going to play some Sly Stone. Honor of his passing. No. I don't know if you saw that one time he came on TV and he had a blonde mohawk. I'm like, what the fuck is up with Sly? Man. I don't remember what program it was on, but it was a national program. But he came out in a blonde mohawk. Yeah, not too long. He kind of was out of, he was out. He wasn't doing nothing. Yeah, but very talented, you know. When the band was right with his sister Rose, Cynthia, the sister that played trumpet, his sister played keyboard, his brother played guitar, and of course Larry Graham. Yeah, when he picked up Larry Graham. And Larry and him had a fallout, and Larry went on to develop Graham Central Station and the cuts that he put out, and Larry Graham's called. And, of course, the reason why he started plucking and hitting his guitar, so to speak, basically was saying because they didn't have a consistent drummer. So he would create that melody and that beat. And that was cold. And then, of course, many others picked up on it and plucking Larry Graham, man. Yeah. Stanley Clark picked up on it and a few others. Yeah. Yeah. He had many tributes in the 2000s, but yeah. But now I don't know if it's gone into hiding. But along with James Brown and Parliament Funkadelic Sly, we're pioneers of
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
We're pioneers of the late 60s, you know, funk. Their fusion of R&B, infectious melodies, and psychedelic created a new pop soul rock hybrid, the impact of which has proven lasting and widespread in Motown producers. Norman Whitfield, for example, patterned the label's forays into hard-driving, socially relevant material, such as The Temptations, Runaway Child, and Ball of Confusion, based on their sound. The pioneering thing with Sly, you know, racial, sexual, and stylistic music and mix, had major influence in the 80s on such artists as Prince and Rick James. That was the Soul Train Awards family when Rick James and Tina Marie did their Fire and Desire, you know. And at the end, he mentioned about some woman. I was sitting in my office at the firehouse watching it, you know. Everybody else doing what they were doing. So I was sitting in my office watching it. And when he said that, man, that's classic. That is classic. I mean, it's very derogatory, of course, but classic nonetheless. Yep. And then, of course, the 90s, and it was an influence on Public Enemy. You know, back Beastie Boys and LL Cool J. And so Sly, Sylvester Stewart, had a deep and positive impact you know, on the music scene. You know. So we're going to go ahead and get into it. We're going to try to talk about a few other things. So in the second half of our program, as we often try to do. So oh. So let's start this up, okay, family? You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. Sylvester Stewart, Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone, truly a music icon, music legend. So, getting back to what we were talking about in terms of the right, as Dr. King, somewhere I read, that's right, you have a right to protest. You have a right to protest. But this man, with this dictatorial asset, if you protest, I will come. Really? I can't go out there and I ain't talking about right. I'm just talking about protest. Protest means I'm visibly. I may be chanting. I'm not going to engage in anything physical. And showing the hell, hope that you don't either. But I have the right to protest. In fact, the protest is you using taxpayer dollars for something that we, well, of course, I'm quite sure his people want that to happen, but stop it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they want that to happen. So, in the internet, there's a few things I want to read, and from News One is Kathy Hughes. You're familiar with Radio One when Radio One was on. News One, and we're talking about community leaders in Louisville, not Louisville, but Louisville. I got to say that right, or my lady gonna get on me, man, for real. That's Louisville. You know, man, Minneapolis want to dismiss consent decrees. Community leaders in Louisville and Minneapolis want to dismiss consent decrees codified in law. They want them to actually become law because of what Donald Trump did. He said, no, you know. And here's another good protest. I like this piece here that happened at the BET Awards is Docelli. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but she used her platform to say to Donald Trump, and to me, I like that. You know, obviously, you have no fear. You know, that you're willing to state how you feel about certain things, and you're willing to. You know, I like that. So here's a piece that she stated that when she was getting her award. Because I think that even though, let me say it this way, family, even though I don't think anything is going to, they're going to do what they're going to do. Nothing will change. But you still should say it. You know, you still should try it, to fight it. You know. So. I don't know. This thing. Maybe this is not it. Thought I had it, but maybe this is not it. Okay. Got it right here. There it is. Okay, family, check it out. This is Sister Dorselli calls out Trump and ICE while accepting her award in L.A.
I do want to address what's happening right now outside of the building. There are ruthless attacks that are creating fear and chaos in our communities in the name of law and order. Trump is using military forces to stop a protest. And I want y'all to consider what kind of government it appears to be when every time we exercise our democratic right to protest, the military is deployed against us. What type of government is that? People are being swept up and torn from their families, and I feel it's my responsibility as an artist to use this moment to speak up for all oppressed people. For black people, for Latino people, for trans people, for the people in Gaza, we all deserve to live in hope and not in fear. And I hope we stand together, my brothers and my sisters, against hate, and we protest against it. Thank you, BT.
Right on. Protests. The right to protest. Yeah. You have that right to protest. Yeah. Also from, that was on News One, also on News One. Community leaders in, once again, Louisville and Minneapolis want to, they want the dismissed consent decrees codified it into law. Last month, the Trump administration announced it would withdraw from consent decrees in Louisville and Minneapolis that would institute federally mandated police reforms in both cities. While city leadership in Louisville and Minneapolis have given verbal confirmation that they will continue to implement the reforms agreed upon in the consent decrees, community members want the reforms to be codified into law. They want to be voted into law. According to radio station KSTP, Minneapolis' consent decree came after a two-year federal investigation found that the Minneapolis Police Department, the MPD, routinely engaged in abusive, discriminatory behavior against American African people and the people with disabilities. After the DOJ announced that it would be withdrawing from the consent decree, the DOJ and all the other entities that Trump has control over. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey made a verbal promise that the reforms would still be implemented. And they should. You know? We're going to get it done anyway, Frey said on May 21st during a press conference. Minneapolis City Council members Robin Wansley, and Council President Elliot Payne have called for the reforms proposed in the consent decree to be rolled into an existing court enforceable settlement agreement with the Minneapolis Police Department of Human Rights, Minneapolis Department of Human Rights. They argue it is necessary given that some of the reforms in the consent decree were stronger than the ones in the existing settlement. This is about the verbal commitment that many council members have made and the mayor also has made in making sure that we have a legal commitment and our city attorney hears from the city council that this is an action that we want to direct them to do. Consent decrees are legally binding agreements approved by a federal judge and often used to implement police reforms. It took so long for these decrees to be reached, given that the investigations were only able to take place after Merrick Garland, the attorney general then, through the Biden administration, ended a restriction on civil rights investigation into police departments, implementing during his first during the first Trump administration. Louisville only reached its consent decree late last year, and still awaiting approval from a federal judge before the DOJ made the move to withdraw it. Similar to Minneapolis, Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg had pledged that the city will continue to implement the proposed reforms. While this is not the outcome we hoped for when we stood right there in December and announced the decree, it is an outcome that we plan to implement. We as a city are committed to the reform. London Pryor, president of the Louisville Urban League, has concerns about how existing reforms have been implemented in the city and wants more than a verbal promise to do better. Officer-involved shootings have continued to persist. We know that there have been complaints made against the department, Pryor stated. Once you make these things a law and it says this is the way these things are going to be done and this is how it's going to happen, then we can truly start to really hold people accountable. Right now, that accountability mechanism is not in place, and that's critically important. The need, come over here. The need for these reforms to be codified is more than obvious given how quickly local governments switch up on police reforms as soon as it is politically expedient. In cities like Chicago and Houston, there were promises of police reforms, with Houston even forming a task force to investigate city policies and find ways to implement meaningful reform. 5 years later, the residents are still wondering when these reforms will finally be implemented. While some gains were made, there were a lot of gains that were not made. They gave us police reforms with a teaspoon, and they took back with a shovel. Frank Chapman, executive director of the National Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression, told the radio station in Chicago. The Department of Justice, Civil Rights Department, announced last month it would not only file motions to dismiss existing consent decrees, but would also end investigations into police departments accused of civil rights violations. But don't worry, y'all. All the time and energy that would have spent investigating police brutality will instead be focusing on making sure schools are getting out of their way to make education more equitable for black and brown children. Yeah, right. Yeah, this is, man, get out of here. Reforms. Yeah, family, that's what time it is. That is what time it is. So give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. My good brother Ted Lusk, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Bubba Oshie. How are you?
I'm well.
I'm just chiming in now, so I'm a little behind time on what you were talking about on today, but I just wanted to make sure that I did spend some time.
Well, I appreciate it. I know. I appreciate it, man, that you make time. And,
you know,
because I know you're working, brother, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, though, you know, Bubba Oshie, especially in these trying times that we're in, man, when hearing about the demonstrations out in California and New York and now Chicago, et cetera, sometimes I often wonder, especially for us, as black people that were part of this country and still is, did we ever really realize this protesting at all? We had so many things against us, right? Especially if I think about the South Carolina protests sometime back in the 50s, 60s, where the policeman, if I'm not mistaken, shot and killed some I think this was at South Carolina State University, one of the HBCUs out there, and killing people there, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a force that has the kind and type of access to weaponry, you kind of wonder, man, you know, is there another way of going about doing this? How can we learn how to draw that line in the sand and be able to defend our position, right? And so I just thoughts running through my head, especially after hearing the kinds and types of interactions that's happening throughout the country and things of what the president and the governor of California and others are doing. And so, sure, they may go after them, and eventually they may come after us, but I just kind of wonder, are we prepared? What is it that we need to do better? I mean, this is not a chess game.
Right.
All right?
And well,
when you're playing chess, right, mm-hmm. you have all of the pieces on the black and white side, all of which have the same move on a finite space. We don't have that finite space.
No, it's not. Because, see, in chess, there's always that 50-50. There is some equilibrium. There is some equality to some degree based upon the player. Based upon how you move and how you look at the board and how you and your strategy. But that's not the case here. That's not the case. They're in the best positions, the Caucasians, because they have the government. And they can make the government act the way that it wants to. And so now, even though a consent decree would be entered into based upon the evidence, based upon the investigation, based upon all the things that are right to correct it, to make it happen. Now he comes along and says, no, I'm not going to do that. We're going to throw that out.
Yes.
And it'll be business as usual. It'll be back to the way it was that caused this madness. See? And so, no, we're not in a position. That's why I'm saying it hasn't happened. It ain't happening. And it ain't going to happen. So in that reality, I think the best thing to do, as I said earlier, that we must deal with an exodus. We must be planning to get our asses out of here. And Africans in the diaspora, because we are faced in a very negative position everywhere. Everywhere. The European came out of that medieval and dark age and went around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of and degrading and dehumanizing people who were melanated, people who were black. Relegating them to an inferior position globally that is affecting us as a people to this very day. And so to me, the only solution, and I don't give a damn what anybody got to say, it ain't Christ, it ain't Jesus, it ain't Muhammad, it ain't none of that. What is the only solution is unity, functional unity. If you can still unify with us and you can still believe in Jesus, then so be it, or Muhammad, or so be it, or whatever theology you have, even if you subscribe to be a European Jew. But if you believe in African unity, which I of course don't believe that you could do that, but that's what's necessary. That is what's needed. There is no other way. There is no other solution. There is none.
Very good.
Yes. And so then once that becomes a reality and we start to move that direction, then we won't need to challenge Caucasians here or anywhere else. But on the continent, that's ours. We dictate. You don't like what's happening? Get your ass off. You don't like to the conditions or wherever, how we have our minerals and our land for this, that, and the other, then get the hell out. Because, you know, for so long, you have played us. We have been played. And so now the day of reckoning for us and for y'all has come. You know, you ain't running nothing here, Junior. Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And so when it comes, if it doesn't come to that and that doesn't happen, then we will cease to exist eventually. We will cease to exist. You know, I made mention of some things that Caucasians have been doing. Of course, everything that they've been doing has been to eliminate us. We are the youngest population on the planet. We have the ability to procreate more exponentially than anybody else. And of course, Caucasians are the last ones, you know. So there's that fear of genetic annihilation, you know, that has always been very prevalent and so forth. So, you know, they believe that they have to dominate and control. And to me, that's over. Especially if you want to dominate and control in the United States of the land that you took from indigenous people here, and they're willing to allow it, so be it. But you ain't going to be running shit in Africa no more. No more. We have, brother Luss, we have to wake up to that reality for us, that we got to unify and control our resources. We got to unify and educate ourselves. We got to unify to develop and grow and put all the mechanisms in place for us to be a solid people well into this so-called 21st century. Otherwise, forget about the 22nd century. We're going to be gone. I'm serious.
I heard that. Well, very good. Thank you so very much for picking my call, Baba Oshim.
Well, thank you, dear brother.
Still listening, still learning.
Always.
And we'll continue to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Santi Sana. No, I mean, that's a reality, family. Either we, you know, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That is it. Ain't nobody going to save us but us. That is it. And the sooner we come to this realization and start to move in that direction, that we don't beg these crackers for a damn thing. We have our own schools, our own curriculum. We have African-centered teachers. We have our own communities. Now, if we're going to be attacked because we have our own, then, I mean, to me, you got to get up out of here, you know, if we're going to be attacked. So my contention is, let us prepare to get up out of here. Brother Marcus, how you doing?
Yes, Brother Oshie. Greetings, my brother.
How you been, man?
I'm here enjoying the beautiful weather here in Memphis, Tennessee, my brother. The weather is lovely. We got to enjoy it, you know?
That's right.
Brother Oshie, you said something earlier when you said the relationship that this guy and Elon Musk has.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if Elon Musk helped this guy win the election.
Yes, he
with
did.
His supercomputer.
Yes, he did. That's yeah, it is. That's how it happened. Everybody says the same thing, and I believe that can be proven. But that's why. But the fact is that it happened, and they boldly, I mean, you know, boldly said that it happened. They said it happened. And yet, there is no authority that's going to say, well, let's look into this. Let's investigate this, you know? And then once the investigation and proving that's what happened, let's bring it to the Department of Justice. Let's get some, you know, let's indict these people, you know? But it's not happening. So they have allowed it to happen. You know, when Donald Trump said 5 days before the actual election, don't vote for me. I got all the votes I need. You don't need to vote for me. Forget it. You can stay home on Tuesday. But Brother Marcus, all of the other pundits were saying, this is too close to call. This is going to be a very close election. They were saying that all the while, but yet Trump says, no, it's not going to be a close. It's in the bag. And then the day on that Tuesday that it happened, even in battleground states where it's supposed to be close, he wins. He even wins the popular vote. Now, one could argue the fact that that the candidate, the Democratic candidate, Sister Harris, was a weak candidate. No, no, she wasn't. But let's just say that that's what they would like to say, that she was such a weak candidate that nobody would really want to vote for her. But that's not true. You know, but the bottom line is they rigged the election. So it ended in his favor. They got to. And but also, too, Brother Marcus, it shouldn't have even been able to happen. This is a criminal. This is a goddamn criminal. This is ridiculous, man. This is so.
I'm telling you, look, yeah. I had a friend, and he told me, he said, look, he told me before he passed away, he said, look, brother, I am telling you, he said, it's the mob is in the White House, though. Yep. You know, that was the first, when he won the first term, he said, look, brother, I'm telling you, he said, it's the mob, because there is no way that you could be in the construction industry in New York City and ain't tied up with the mob, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
You, because everybody knew that them Italians ran that construction industry in New York. And he was building left, right, and center in New York. It's sad that the country has gotten to this, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my brother. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, Marcus, brother Marcus, before you would say that how sad and corrupt the country is, and yet it still had this veneer, it still had this face that it was a country of rules and laws and so forth and high moral standards and all kinds of constitutional bull, all that stuff. All that shit is out the window as far as I'm concerned. You can't say a damn thing to me about anything about this country. You can wipe your ass with the Constitution. It don't mean a damn thing. It don't mean nothing.
It sure is, my brother. I say, wow, I just got to shake my head, brother Oshie. I'm here, brother. I'm here listening. Thank you, brother Oshie. Okay. I let somebody else come
okay.
on. Thank
you, hey, brother Mark, I'm sorry to go off, man, but damn, you know.
It is what it is, bro.
It is. It makes you, just like Marvin Gaye said, it makes you want to holler. Throw up both your hands. All right, Brother Marcus.
Brother, I want you, if I don't laugh, I'm going to cry. So that's why you hear you. Laughing. If I don't laugh, I'm going to cry, my brother.
Well, you have a blessed day, my friend.
All right, brother.
Take care. Peace. Good afternoon, Brother Paul. What's happening?
Baba Ochi, what's happening?
Oh, man.
Absolutely everything.
Everything.
Man.
That's right.
I say fight the power.
That's
we
right.
We got to fight the power
that
be.
That's right. You got to fight the power that be.
Yeah.
Man, for sure.
People, we got to get over before we got under. Simple.
Yep, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's crazy,
Baba
man.
Baba Ochi, you said a lot today. So I'm just going to. Just point out some things which I noted from what you've said. You know, I think I've mentioned it on this platform before, but it's important I put it back out in the ether. A person by the name of Greg Pallas, yeah, he's on your side of the pond. I understand he's an investigated journalist. He's been on Carl Nelson's show a good few times,
okay,
and other platforms. He's got his own platform. I think he's written a few books, not just one, but one of the books he's written is How to Steal an Election.
Mm.
And he breaks down how, in your country, going back for years, they've been stealing elections, right? Now, my problem is this. He's written a book on it. He's written a book on how to steal elections. And the book is based on how they have been stealing elections in your country.
Right.
Now, I have a problem with the fact that anyone finds it surprising that Trump has stolen an election. I have a problem with that. Because you have a man who's an investigative journalist who's written a book on it.
Yes.
And it goes right back to that situation in Florida with, I think it was Jeb Bush or...
George Bush, the younger, against what's his name? That was vice president.
I forget his name too.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. it's not that important. But the reality of it is that he is, by his career, an investigative journalist. And from what I understand, to be a journalist, you have to go through a certain set of qualifications, and you have to get a pass to be recognized as a journalist. He is an investigative journalist. And why I say that, that gives him his credentials. Mm-hmm. He has written a book on it, and he's put it out there for the world to see that you have been stealing elections for years.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it's surprising to anyone why the orange man has stepped into the position to stole election. This is what they all have been doing. Mm-hmm. Now, let me go on. George is a well-known fact. How do I know this? Living in the mind of the beast right here in the UK. Mm-hmm. I know this because if you go on the internet and do a little bit of research, you will find out that George Soros owns patents on some of those machines mm-hmm. they have been using to steal elections. He holds the patents on that, okay? It's on the internet. You don't have to go to university. The only way to find this is find it on the internet. Now, you know George Soros, for instance, he's living in America, but you know he used to live here in the UK. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, I wasn't, but I know that he's a great benefactor of many liberals.
He's originally from Hungary.
Okay.
He's originally from Hungary. And I think we need to know these things, man. We really need to know these things because they're just laughing at us like we're some dum-dums. He went to university here. He went to the London School of Economics. So he came out with a degree in economics. That's mm-hmm. why he does what he does. And he made his money betting on the pound. While Margaret Thatcher was in government, he made his money betting on the pound would crash. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it did crash. And he made millions off of it. Okay. That's how he made his fortune. Now, he owns a patent on those same machines that they have been using to steal elections. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. And not just him. And there's another character. I can't remember his name. Right? Now, the question that the orange man hasn't stolen an election is with an autocrat. The autocrat is Elon Musk.
Right.
Elon Musk went to MIT. Bob Archie, do you know who started MIT?
No.
The
Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
I found this out through listening to the work of John Coleman. You know John Coleman, don't you?
No, I'm not familiar.
Right. John Coleman exposed the whole thing. John Coleman used to work for the Secret Service in England, and he now lives in America. He wrote the book on the Tavistock Institute, and he exposed the fact that how they were organized. This has been organized for years. It's up there on the internet. The whole audio book is there. He's written books on it. He's there in America. He went there, as he says, to warn you. What's going on? He says that it's there. You can go and find it. He says he came to America to warn you of how your country is being run by agents outside your country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That whole information is there.
Yeah.
So when you come back to this voting thing, yeah, our brilliant brother Marcos, mm-hmm. he asks you a question if he's using the machines. Well, it's all written out there. Of course they're using the machines. Mm-hmm. And remember, MIT, we talked about MIT. MIT was started by a man who left Germany. In actual fact, that man was thrown out of Germany. Do you know why he was thrown out of Germany? Because he was developing programs to brainwash people.
Mm.
I'm not making this up.
Okay.
I forget his name, but I'm gonna get back to you. He's one of the founders of MIT, a man who was brainwashing people, devising programs of mind control. And mm-hmm. then he came to America and started MIT. So what do you think they're all doing down in MIT? What do you think they're really doing? Come on, man.
Yeah.
So hear what now? You've got Elon Musk who come from South Africa, a country which holds back in oppression, right? A system devised by the Zionists, okay? And Muslim Zionists came out of the Dutch country, Holland,
mm-hmm.
okay? That's where mm-hmm. they came from, calling themselves Boers and all this nonsense and claiming that they have a right to be in that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's from that stock, Elon Musk. But he's been raised up with mm-hmm. the idea that he's superior to any black man.
Exactly, no doubt.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's seen his indoctrination his whole life. Mm-hmm. They've told him. You know, I have a white friend, right? She lived in South Africa. She's from England, but she married one South African guy. And I spoke to her one time, and she told me what she saw, because she had no idea. These white people, they don't know their history. I had to tell her about how the English had the Dutch in concentration camp. I had to explain to her that the concentration camps were not started by Hitler. They were started by the British. They had the Dutch in concentration camps down there in South Africa because they wanted to rot them and take control. And she had no idea of that. But what she had an idea of is when she was down there married to this South African, right, white man, she's white too, how she was treated. And she could not believe, she told me, she said she could not believe how they treated the blacks. She told me that. Oh, some of the things she told me was just heart-wrenching. I could not believe it. And she had no idea what was going on. Yeah? But anyway.
Hold up. Also, too, you're right. And her misunderstanding is the fact that the British, the Boer War was the British against the Dutch. It wasn't the
Brits
against the Zulus. That's another thing. Okay. The Zulu Wars that happened. No, that was these Caucasians wanted to have the dominance in South Africa, because they knew they had the weaponry to control the Zulus. They had Gatling guns and all kind of other instruments that they have of destruction. But they wanted to make sure they could suppress the Boers, who were the Dutch. Yep.
But Baba Ochi, let me show you how that's even close to home. You see, people don't really, they don't even, it just amazes me, because this is not even hidden. You know, right here in England, the same thing. You know, these people just make up lies, you know. We have something called the Great Fire. Right. And they tell us that the fire, the London burnt down. I don't know if you're familiar with that in 19, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So in school, we learned that this great fire, okay, what happened, right? But you know, the reality of it, that's not really what happened, because what I'm getting to understand now, they tell us, it was one baker. There was a baker's business and it must have left something on it, caught fire. And because all the houses was wood them time, it all burnt down. But that's not the truth. What I feel now from what I've researched is that there was a struggle going on between the Dutch again and the British, because there's evidence to suggest that some British sailors set fire to the port. I've read it. Yeah. Okay. And I looked at that and I said, look at this. Because remember what was going on in America at the time? New York used to be called New Amsterdam.
New Amsterdam. Exactly. No, you're not. New York was named New Amsterdam. The Dutch.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. The Dutch was controlling it. And one of the things the Dutch complained of, right, is that when the British came, they just took all their patents. And what some of their patents was like door locks, hinges, all those sort of things, which they claimed to have invented, yeah? And the British just come and stole it and took over the whole thing. And that's what the British do. Remember, Jamaica was a Spanish isle too. And the British came along, just took it. Because that's what they do. They just come and they just hoodwink you and just take your... sugar and iced tea.
Yes.
That's what they do. Yep. Okay? So if you have any ideas about them, trust me. That is their psyche. They come, nice you up, talk to you all nicely, and they have their dagger and their gun behind their back, and as soon as you turn, they're going to jack you. That's how it works. Okay? So that's how they got America. They jacked the Dutch and took it. That's how they got South Africa. They jacked the Dutch and took it. Okay? So you've got a man there, right, knowing this, Elon Musk, he knows that because he's from Dutch stock. And they hate the English or anything resemble the English. They hate them with a passion, okay? In their psyche, they hate them because they want revenge, because they believe everything there is theirs, not the English, theirs. So that's why he's maneuvered himself into position and he's doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But that's been bred into them.
Right.
In South Africa, it's the same. Mm-hmm. They want it back. They want their thing back. That's why they're separating down there. They want it back as the European ones who want to fight the other European ones to stop. Just like the English hate the Irish. Listen, this is a battle between them. This is them. They're fighting among each other and hiding it and pretending that, oh, it's something to do with America. Listen, this is old-ass arguments being played out in modern times.
Yep.
So our brother Marcus asked the question. Of course there is manufacturing of computers, because going to MIT, you master how these machines work. So he knows the inside out of how the logarithms work. He knows that he's a programmer. He comes from cyberpunk. Right. So I'm a part with all the programmers like Julius Assange all came together and they decided that they're going to use their skills, programming skills, right, to change society. They're going to use their things to change society. Julian Assange was one of them. He was one of them. Loads of them. They call themselves cyberpunk, mm-hmm. right? So what I'm saying is that was their operation mandate, okay? So look, so today, of course he stole the election. Trump needed him because he's the master
right.
of the computer.
Exactly. He
they've
needed
been doing
him.
This. Mm-hmm. Right. I told you what they're doing. But now, George Soros has owned one of the patents, and he has the machines. He has X. He knows how these things work. He's a programmer. Okay, so that's an easy thing. That's not even complicated. That's easy. Look, people who don't understand these machines, right? This is how they baffle you. It's kind of crazy because people don't have knowledge of this. They don't understand how these things work. They, for instance, when we had the credit card, they didn't even understand that your PIN is on the credit card itself. Any hacker could take your PIN off the credit card. They know that. But you're not going to tell the banks that because the banks don't know about programming. They just know about money and economics. But they don't know really how this thing works. This is how this thing's operating. So they say knowledge is power. Yeah, it is really if you know what you're doing and if you want to deceive people, it really is. And that's what he's doing, deceiving people.
Yes.
So it's not new, Baba Ochi. It's not new. You should not be surprised that they are robbing elections. And I'm going to say a last thing here. I made a few notes, but I'm going to say another thing. America, you know about the School of Americas, don't you?
Yes,
you've heard
I do.
Of that,
yes.
School of America.
Yeah.
What did they do there?
They teach espionage. They teach all kinds of how to manipulate and sabotage.
Let me shout out for you.
Yeah.
In the School of Americas, they were creating dictators and sending them back to their countries.
Right.
One of the dictators they trained was that one in Nicaragua. I forget his name now.
Manuel Noriega.
Right.
Yep, Manuel Noriega.
They trained him in the School of America.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making this up? Am I making it? What part of it have I made up?
Nothing. Please continue.
Right.
Nothing.
He was trained in the School of America. Okay? Mm-hmm. Saddam trained in the School of America. All the dictators you see around the world causing harm. Where are they trained? In the School of America. Mm-hmm. Right. So Uncle Sam is, I think, Abu Ali, El Shabazz, Malcolm X said one thing. He said the chickens are going to come home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
The China will say yin and yang. Some people say karma. Karma is a B-I-T-C-H. That's what it is.
Karma.
Yeah.
That's right.
Karma. So why am I surprised, man? I don't know why anybody, what you're doing out there is going to come home to you. It's called collateral damage. What you put out there by the natural force of nature is going to come back to you. The problem is, why are people so ducked down? Why are people surprised? It's what you put out there. This is how you roll. You're rolling. This is what you're doing to the world. So of course it's going to come back home.
Oh, yeah.
So you got your very own dictate. You got your very own dictate now, but some of you are surprised. Why are you surprised? You've been putting that there for years.
That's right. Years. Chickens coming home to roost. As Malcolm said, the chickens come home to roost. And the evil that the United States has done globally, I mean, some of the leaders that they killed, leaders on the continent, brothers and sisters, were listening. Patrice Lumumba, you know, leaders on the continent, Thomas Sankara. That the United States have killed, openly have killed, this government. So, I mean, you know, to me, you should never be surprised. If you are any kind of person who is read and understands or consider yourself aware of how evil this system can be, how evil white people can be, then this nothing should surprise you, nothing.
Look, all of that stuff, right? You know that what they're doing there in America, yeah? Well, America is still British, man, as far as I'm concerned,
right.
Because they all that. If you know, we learned in school about King Henry and all this nonsense, King Henry, yeah? And King Henry VIII. But listen, when you really read into it, like read between the lines and go back and research it, yeah? That man was this is what they all aspire to be, like him. He was the living psychopath dictator. He was. And you had a man called, I met this, you know, when I, they had a man called 001. Listen to what I'm telling you. 001. That is where 007 comes from. But okay. This man was real. He's called 001.
Okay.
Right? And 001, his job was to follow the whispers, the Chinese whispers, and collect all the information because they couldn't speak out. Any man talk up against Henry VIII, you're dead. If they found that you said any criticism against him, that's it for you. Mm-hmm. He killed how many of his wives? Had their heads chopped off.
Yeah.
That's his wives.
Yeah.
His own wives. That is the nature. You see, you see these people, yeah? They dress it up and make it look all lovely, Henry VIII. He was the living psychopath dictator, which they all aspire to be. He had ultimate control of the people. Yeah? This used to be a Catholic country, Britain. He changed the whole country's religion.
The Protestant, so did.
The Protestant, because he wanted to remarry. Imagine. Because you have a problem with your wife can't produce children, and you then decide to change the whole country for your religion. Right, you get where I'm coming from. Can you imagine that? You're complaining about Donald Mussolini, Trump, the dump. And you see, this is what they're supposed to, and they know that. They aspire to be like their cousins. This is not, look man, I'm just showing you. They aspire to be like their cousins. Now let me, last thing I'm going to say. A man wrote a book called The New Atlantis. One of the reasons he wrote that book, because he was an education person, he became the chancellor of the country. The chancellor is the one who holds the money of Britain, yeah? He wrote the book called The New Atlantis. The New Atlantis was the instruction for forming a country called America. Mm-hmm. People need to go read these things. It's called the New Atlantis. That was the manuscript. And you imagine all that time he wrote that. If you look today, what's going on? It's all set out in that book.
Yeah. Okay.
They planned all this.
Yeah.
Sir Francis Bacon. His name's come to me. Sir Francis Bacon. He wrote the book.
Yeah.
The New Atlantis. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was the instruction to come and capture the land. And put all their names there, take it over from the Dutch. That was the instruction. Mm-hmm. And today you see the same plan going on. Look, if you're an independent country, let me ask you this, yeah? Why all the names of them places, like Brother Irv told us, Maryland, why haven't they all changed? Why haven't you changed them to some American names? They're still English names. Right. Why? Why? Because these people are serious. Look, Donald Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, the dump. His mother come from Scotland, okay? Scotland, and his father come from Germany, right? Do you not think he still has loyalty to them places? Or what? You think he just wrote off them places? Do you think he's just forgotten about it because he's born in America?
No,
his mother come from Scotland,
right?
Okay? And if you understand the conflict between the Scottish and the English is very deep.
Yes, it is.
And even the Germans.
Yeah,
The closest cousins of the English are the Germans, by the way, genetically.
Okay,
genetically, although they hate one another, most of them don't know that they are related to one another. They're genetically most close to the one. Even the English is a form of Germanic. It's German. Mm-hmm. Okay, so these people are playing out their old, you know, vexes against each other, and using the people to do that. And they know what they're doing. They're not sending their children to these battles to fight. They're sending you because they see you as expendable. And this is, why am I telling you this? Because I'm telling you this because they use a thing called politics to camouflage, make it look like it's about this and that. No, these are the old battles going on still in their head. They're fighting against each other and they're using me and you as the pawns.
Exactly.
And what it is, Baba Oshie, this is the solution. I do agree with you that we've got to move away. But listen, you know how we can move away? If everybody can't physically move away, they have to move away in their mind. Mind.
That's right, Paul. That's right. That's what I always say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, listen,
to stop. One thing they must stop doing, stop spending your money with people who don't invest in your children or your interests. That's what you can do.
Yep.
If you're not going to run to Africa, stop giving your money. Stop giving your money to the Chinese to buy hair, to buy fingernails, or these people to buy your food. Stop it. That's how you can take your
and
power
invest
back.
Invest in yourself. Invest in each other. Listen, I got some more callers.
Your family and your people. That's it. Yep. Race first. Thank you.
All right, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, man. That's right. Race first. Yep. All right. Oh, man. The cat jumped off. Okay. Well, so did her. So, hey. Okay, family. We got a few more minutes. If you still want to get in on it, on the conversation, dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And, I love it. Man, I love Paul, man. I do. He's on it. He's on it. And that's what I'm saying. I'm well aware of this history. That's why, to me, this battle is not with these Caucasians. This battle is internally within us. It is with them, because if you decide that you're going to take what is rightfully yours and make them pay justly what is rightfully yours, they're with their selfish and greedy ass, they're going to want to challenge that militarily. That's why Trump wants to have this parade, a show of force, you know, to have a show of force. Brother Jay, what's happening?
I guess you was just taking one call today, huh? How was your trip?
Oh, man, to New Orleans, it was good. Yeah, it was
good. Good.
The Executive Development Institute is in good hands, and we'll continue to train our brothers and sisters how to access the upper mobility within the fire service. But we also need the ability to recruit in the fire service to put us on the job. You know, if we're not coming on a job, and then you're training some people to go into management, you only understand that there's only one fire chief. There might be two assistants. There might be three deputies. There might be four or five battalion chiefs or 7, 8, 9. Like New York, there's a lot. But the bottom line is, the point being, is that we need people coming in the entry. We need fire departments to reflect the cities they serve. In Philadelphia, in New York. New York, the 9/11 piece brought out the racist hiring practices of the New York City Fire Department, when you had 11,000 and you only had 500 of us. I think it's 305,000. But I know at 9/11, 343 firefighters died, and only 12 of them were us. You know, and I think that percentage still rivals the percentage of us in the New York City Fire Department. And so, you know, that's why I feel that even though we do a good job, because there's a lot of sharp men and women who are at EDI, who come from various departments across this country, who have trained us, but it's still we still need a program for recruitment and retention in the fire service, no doubt. So what's been happening with you, man?
Not much, man. Just hanging in there.
Is everything still pretty much the same?
Yeah, man, pretty much the same. So that's the main thing, is being able to you know, just be stable.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, that's it. You know, it's one of those situations to where, as you know, things change in an hour. It could change.
That's right.
You know.
That's right, brother.
So you just have to be grateful, man. In these situations, the main thing is you have to get rest. You have to find the necessary time to get rest. You can't do it no other way. If you do it any other way, you're going to burn yourself out, and you ain't no good to yourself or nobody else in these type situations.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm hanging in there, man. I'm right on. You know, when you get a certain age, man, you understand things better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, you know,
hanging in there, brother.
So that's it.
All right, dear brother.
All right, be good.
Jay, hope to hear from you on Friday, man. You have a good day, brother. Okay?
I will.
All right, peace. Yeah, brother Jay. Yeah. Yeah, the trials and tribulations of life, and that's wherever you are. You got to deal with them, you know. But like I said, we as African people, if we understood that we were African people and we understood that we don't have to accept anything from anybody, but we must come into ourselves and believe in us. And no matter where we are, that we can come together and we can control our land, control our resources, that we come together and make righteous, sound decisions about how we're going to live, how we're going to use the technology that we can develop to make sure that we have clean water. Look, Brother Moses has done it. He's done it. He developed the atmospheric water generating system. So water is not an issue. Of course, the scarcity of water is an issue. But the fact is, water's all around us. So take that technology, we got water. Take the technology that we can develop to build houses, roads. We can build hospitals, highways, super train ways that you can go from Nairobi, Kenya, to Dar es Salaam. Or you can go to Zimbabwe or South Africa, or go all the way up into Accra, Ghana. All these things are possible for us if we put aside the pettiness, put aside tribalism, mysticism, ignorance. Kick that shit to the curb. Hope you join us on Friday, family. And you have a good day today. Be safe. Continue on. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, that they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Hope you listen on Friday, okay, family? Peace.